change your life forever. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit August 31st, 1975. Not that I'm old enough to, you know, be that age, but... Honey, can you make this go down a little bit for me? Yeah. And it changed my life forever. And see, the Bible says that when you get... Thank you. So when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. In John chapter 7, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Joshua knows. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, it sounded like Babel, like really literally a babbling brook. Kala, 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 kala. And I was so embarrassed because for like 3 months, it was just like, kala, kala, kala. I felt like a turkey. Kala, kala, kala. I'm like, this what? Everyone around me is shambre bekelio, shambre bekelio. You know, they're speaking this beautiful language. And I'm like, I felt like a dork, you know. And it turns out years later, I was sharing that example and somebody came up to me and they said that word in my language means to speak and to proclaim and to prophesy. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? So you never know what Holy Spirit's doing. And, you know, I was so shattered and I felt so so much shame and like I, you know, really wasn't loved and it wasn't going to happen to me. But it did. God is so gracious. And he said, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? So for those of you that have not received this amazing gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we just want to invite you after the service, come on up because we are going to lay hands on you. And you just jump on in. The water's fine. I'm telling you, you're going to be praising the Lord, and it's going to be amazing. And it just really does empower you to be able to live an overcoming life. And then in my car, don't let me forget, I've got these little books called Why Tongues that I'd like to give to you. I think I've got about 12 of them. Darla went and bought them for me, and I knew I'd be needing them someday. But and so I want to make sure I get those to you, those of you that are interested or those of you that would like prayer for that today. We'd love to pray with you. But about the gift of prophecy, oh my, what can I say? How can I count the ways? There's different levels of anointing, calling, and ministry when it comes to prophecy or the prophetic. To prophesy simply means to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words that God is giving you. They can have elements of foretelling or just simply speaking a word of blessing. It means to build up, to encourage, and to comfort. When I talk about different levels of prophetic ministry, one of the first level is called simple prophecy, and I'm not going to go through everything, but can you say simple prophecy? Okay, so the Bible says that you may all prophesy one by one that everybody may be encouraged. That's in 1 Corinthians 14, 31. You may all prophesy. Everybody is called to what's called simple prophecy. Can you say simple prophecy? And that is just simply words that edify, that encourage, and build up. And so the Bible, it says here in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, but he who prophesies, that's 1 Corinthians 14:3, if you prophesy, he that prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to people. What does that mean? Edification means to build up. Exhortation means to comfort. And comfort means to comfort. It's just another word. An exhortation is also means to console. So simple prophecy, you're not, you know, thus saith the Lord, get your house in order, the judgment's God's fault. No, 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 no. Jesus came to deliver everybody from judgment. Hello. So here's the deal. Simple prophecy is just you get a stirring in your spirit. And you know what? I think I'm going to call so-and-so today and I just have the scripture in my heart to share with them. Or I feel like God just wants them to know how much love, how loved they are today. Or, you know, I see the pleasure of God over your life, and God's bringing you into a time of real blessing and favor, and he just wants you to know that. And sometimes the most simple words will touch their heart when it's spoken in love, under the anointing. It's simple prophecy. It's just something so beautiful. If you can't write it on a Valentine card, don't say it. If you can't write it on a Valentine card, don't say it. Simple prophecy is simply in New Testament. Everybody's called to do that. We have Joel 2, promise, Joel 2, I believe it's 28. It says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall. Amen. And so we're all called to prophesy now. Every single one of y'all are in the prophetic ministry. Welcome to the prophetic ministry. If you have Holy Spirit in you, he wants you to share his words of comfort and building up people. Amen. That's simple prophecy. But sometimes God will add the gifts of the Spirit to it. It's no longer simple prophecy. You now have gone into a higher level of revelational anointing, where God will now, on that stream of prophecy, when you're in the middle prophesying over somebody, like, for example, I'm looking at Denise. I see the crown of heaven on her head. I'm like, God just wants you to know that you are his royalty. You are his queen. The Lord says this is a time of royal decree to release his word in a new way, because he's given you new keys of authority. Now, that's simple prophecy. But as I'm looking at her and I feel that simple prophecy, added to it now is a word of knowledge, which is a piece of information about a person, place, or thing. Amen? So the Lord says he's opening up business to you. The Lord says he's giving you a grace with finances, and there's going to be a multi-streamed revenue coming into your life now. And he says he's given you dreams and schemes to begin to start something that's going to be bringing more money into your life personally. And much of it may even be attached to the ministry. And that's the will of the Lord for your life. Now, is that something that's been in your life? Does that bear true with you? Is that
yes?
Yes. Amen. Now, that is a word of knowledge. Amen. And actually, to tell you the truth, it's actually more of a word of wisdom, because it has to do with the plan and purposes of God for the future. Does that make sense? That's a word of wisdom. So now it's no longer simple prophecy. It is now a higher level of revelation. So you've got simple prophecy, and then you've got people flowing in the prophetic, and they've got, you know, the revelation gifts to it on them, you know, added to it, where they all of a sudden they might even know the name of a child, or they might know, do you have a brother? And you know, God, you know what I mean? You start getting downloads of revelation that you have no way of knowing, except for because Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And it's not a scary, weird thing. Jesus said in John 16, that Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. Amen? And he even says, I'm going to show you things to come. Now, that doesn't mean you're a prophet, I'm a prophet or something. It means you're prophetic. And Jesus, the prophet, lives on the inside of you. So everybody should know stuff from God. Amen? Because we walk with him and he tells us stuff. Very simple. But now let's talk about the gift of prophecy. That is a little bit of a same thing, same anointing, but the person with the gift of prophecy will be able to prophesy 99.99% of the time. Like, you give them a mic. I mean, they can be really even in a bad mood, got in a fight with their husband, not that that's ever happened with me and David, and hand you the mic and be like, here, I believe you have a word for the people. And then you can prophesy. And it's a gift. Can you say gift? Yes. You don't earn it. But see, the Bible says to desire the gifts of the Spirit. So, you know, when we talk about these things, what makes your heart sing? What do you see yourself doing? What are you jealous over? Maybe sometime you see somebody in ministry and you're not necessarily jealous over them. Of course, that would be a sin. but you're jealous over how they hear God and how they move in the Spirit. Well, you're probably called to that. And if you desire that and you hunger for that and you learn about that and you come to the School of the Prophetic every Thursday night in February, just saying, you know, you start to learn about these things and God activates them in your life. Amen? And so it's really good, but the gift of prophecy is so powerful. Kenneth Hagin said it this way: the gift of tongues is like a nickel, right? The gift of tongues, and that's where the people get up and they give a, many times they'll give a like David, Pastor David was saying, they'll give a something out in tongues in front of the church or in the church, then interpretation of tongues. Usually those gifts are for the corporate body. And when it talks about them there in 1 Corinthians 12. But then the interpretation, someone stands up, gives the interpretation. That's the other nickel. But a nickel and a nickel make a dime. So the equivalent of the tongue and the interpretation is just pure prophecy, where a person will just jump right into the prophetic. And we do that a lot now because, like David was saying, it's kind of embarrassing when people get up and give this great word unless there's somebody there to interpret it, right? Now, I want to say, as a pastor here, when we're worshiping the Lord and you hear a melody like a stream of people singing in tongues or praying in tongues, and it's not just like one person, you know, really loud and distracting and drawing attention to themselves, but you hear like a melody. It's like a river. It's like a symphony. Go ahead and join in. The Apostle Paul said, I'll worship him in the Spirit. I'll worship with my understanding. What you don't want is you're so exuberant in your tongue that you're screaming out in tongues, and the person that just walked in the door is like, okay, they're crazy. We're having an epileptic seizure now. We got to call 911, which actually, I've been in churches where that did happen actually one time. But anyway, so there is a way to flow decently and in order. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to learn the things of the Spirit and flow with them because they're all for you. Jesus said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, He, the Father, will give you Holy Spirit abundantly. He said, if you know how to ask for good gifts from your fathers, your natural fathers, and they give you good gifts, how much will your heavenly Father give you good gifts? So we need to ask by faith and believe and receive them. Amen? And so did that help you? Okay, so is it okay if I share with you a public word? It's a really good one. Is that okay? All right, I don't want to embarrass you. Sometimes people are like, please, Jeannie, just don't come to me. Don't, you know. And so what's your name, honey? Karen. And so I was looking over at you. Yeah. And he says, this is your time, Karen. Aww. He says, this is your time. He says it's okay to get back up on the horse again and learn to trust again because God's coming and he's strengthening your heart. This is one of the seasons where God says, my healing balm is upon you. And he says, I'm going to bind up your broken heart just as he's doing with all of us. And he says, I'm going to give you new eyes to see and there's new possibilities. Eyes to see new possibilities. And he says, I'm going to shut some doors, but I'm opening new ones. And the new ones I'm opening for you, he says, it's going to show the extravagance of my love. And so right now, I just mantle you and bless you with the favor of heaven. He says, you're daddy's little girl. He says, you're daddy's little girl, and you always have been. And so that sweet, strong voice that you heard and even sensed of the presence of God, even when you were a little girl, he says, it's a new time of renaissance for you. It's a new time of you being brought up into the Spirit, and you're gonna move in him in such a new way because it's a new time and season for you. So I bless you. Amen. I bless you. Does that bear witness with you? Amen. Amen. Bless you. I should have had her tape that, but So, you know, it's just, the Bible says, pardon? Oh, yeah, it's recorded. It's on Facebook Live, whatever. Okay. So, what was I going to say about that? Okay. So, the Bible says in Hebrews, and I want to get the scripture right. I might not have it right, but I believe it's Hebrews 5:19. And it says, having your senses exercised to, what is it? Six. Okay, and it says having your senses exercised,
by reason of
use, practice, So the more you practice your spiritual senses, that's your spiritual sight, your spiritual smell, your spiritual touch, the perceptions God gives you, sensing, perceiving, the more you exercise your spiritual ears to hear what God's saying within you, the more you're going to sense and know the Spirit of God. Do you hear me? God's going to begin to speak to you. Now, he can speak to you through impressions, sensing, discerning. With this dear one, I sensed it just by impressions. Now, how many of you, now that doesn't sound like a big, huge, revelatory prophet thing. How many of you just get impressions sometimes? Well, I had an impression. You all do, because we're spirit beings. Every single one of you. I looked at my dear sister. I had an impression. You see what I'm saying? And so if it's okay, I would like to do one more, give one more example if that's okay. Now, you would be so easy to prophesy over you, because so I might come back to you because you're just very easy and open to the things of the Spirit. Yes, I'm talking to you. But sir, is it okay if I share a word with you? Are you going to, it's going to be good, trust me, because edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'm a strong believer. If you can't write it on a Valentine card, you don't say it right. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Do you hear me? It's going to be good, honey. This is your good season, okay? It's going to start to shift and turn around. Do you hear me? You're here today by the divine unction of the Spirit of God, because God says, I am turning your life around, and I'm going to set a path of provision in your life. And God says, I'm going to be doing a work of restoration because he loves you. In fact, he says you're his jewel. Do you know you're a treasure? That's you. Do you know you're a treasure? What's your name? The Lord says you're a treasure to him. He says you're his jewel. He says today things are going to start to turn around for you. He says there's a touch on your living situation, your home situation. The Lord's going to do a work there. He says this is the beginning of a new day for you, a new time for you, and you're going to begin to see the goodness of the Lord. In fact, that seer gift, in fact, you've had some dreams from God, and he shows you some things to come, and that's the Holy Spirit within you. You've experienced that, right, mm-hmm. where you just knew things, and you had dreams about changes. And God's going to continue to purify that and bring you into understanding, but you are his jewel, and so I bless you with the revelation of God's love for you. Amen. So good to meet you. Welcome. Welcome. And so, man of God, what is your name here? Stephen. Good name, Stephen. And so I looked at you and I saw over your head restoration. And this is a time and season where God is doing an amazing work. In fact, I'm looking at your mind right now. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. God is doing a restoration in your mind. God is doing a restoration of things that the enemy has tried to come and steal. But God says this is your time and your season of restoration. There's beginning a quickening even in your body. And you're going to begin to think about things that you haven't thought of for a long time. And you thought, I can't do that. It's too late. That door shut. It didn't work out the way you thought it was going to. The Lord says it's not too late. He says, my son, take me by the hand and let me cause you to walk into those places that you had dreamed about in your youth. Even when you were a young man, he says, I'm going to bring you into those places in a new way. And he says, you're going to affect people. It's going to be a blessing for people. And it's going to change lives. And so I bless you, Stephen. This is an amazing season for you. I seal you with the restoration of God over your life. Does that bear witness with you? Okay, bless you. Amen. Bless you. Oh, my goodness. What is your name? You. Michael, God bless you, Michael. So when I look at you, I see your eyes. I see that you see. I see the anointing of a seer to see the things of God. I see an eagle behind you. That's an eagle of revelation. So God is going to continue to pour out revelation into you. And I see him even touching not just your heart physically, but I see him touching all in here. And so I believe if not just physiologically, but emotionally and spiritually, God says you've been housing his dreams. You've had some things stirring in your heart. He says you are an amazing champion. He calls you a champion. You're like a person in sports that has overcome, and you've hit a home run, and you cross the you know, you're in the end zone there, and everything that the different things that God has caused you to prosper in, and he says you're going to come into the winning season again in a new way. It's a winning season for you in a new way because he says you've embraced his spirit. So he's going to show you strategies. The word of wisdom is going to be very strong with you, and that God is going to show you amazing strategies, how to plan things, what people to meet, and how to walk out the purposes that God has put in your heart. And in fact, like I said, there's some new things birthing. New things are stirring, I should say, on the inside of you, and that's from God. And that's from God. And so I bless you with the spirit of revelation from the throne room of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Does that bear witness with you? And does that resound in your spirit? Does that feel good? Yes. Yes, ma'am. I love that. He called me yes, ma'am. That's good. I like that. Okay.
Oh, I got it.
Okay. Amen.
Are you done, honey? Well, see, don't you all wish you were the one that she chose? I always am. I'm like, choose me, right? Let me tell you a little bit about my wife. She won't like me saying all these things, but let me say that. You put that on my chair, baby. Thank you. We went out to Maryland. We were doing a conference on prophecy. I teach prophecy. I operate in the simple gift. She's in the office of a prophet. Amen. And we're going out there, and at the end of the great teaching, which I don't think I did all that great, but in the end of the great teaching, people lined up, and we were giving prophetic words to people. And it was about 90 people. Wasn't that about right? And all of a sudden, my wife, she gets in a flow. And when she gets in that flow, and all of a sudden, you hear the whole room screaming and yelling. Now, we tell the pastor, don't tell us anything about anyone. I mean, absolutely say, we don't want to know who your leaders are. We don't want to know anything until after the teaching and the time. Because we don't want to be influenced. And so I'm sitting there. I'm giving some great words, and they're amazing. People are being blessed. But all of a sudden, next to me, I hear my wife, and people are shouting and screaming because she's just nailing it. She's just nailing it. And let me give you an example of the level of accuracy. Doesn't always come. Jeannie misses it. We all miss it, just like teachers miss it sometimes, and drivers make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But she was in there, and there was this couple came up to her. She has no idea who these people are. There is no looking up on the internet. There's none of that kind of stuff. No stuff like that whatsoever. And she looks at him, she goes, you have two children, a boy and a girl, and they're musical. Matter of fact, they're working together and doing something musically together. And people were just, because they knew who the people were, we didn't know who they were. They had a son and daughter in the London Opera that were both working together in the opera, both part of the cast. And I don't know what you call it. And how would she have known that, right? Now, I have not seen her do this one time or twice. I've seen her do this 100 times, 1,000 times. And it's just because that's her gifting. Doesn't make Jeannie special. But sometimes when people have the gift of the office of the prophet, everyone can think, well, they're better than me. But they're not. You can all prophesy. You can all be a part. I had to shut my line down because no one cared, okay? And we just all looked over at her and watched her. This is embarrassing for Jeannie, but I wanted to teach you with this because the pastor came up to me. He goes, I've been around all the great prophets. You name the names. You know the ones that are in the flow, in the stream. And then he said, I've never seen anyone as accurate in personal prophecy as Jeannie. He goes, never. And he was in a lot of different places. I don't want to give out names and stuff because it's not fair. I just tossed them away. Because I knew they weren't for me. I appreciate the person that was doing it, and they were acting on their own imagination, and they were trying to be led by spirit, and I want them to practice their gifts. So I don't want to discourage them. I don't say anything negative to them, but I just shake my head and say thank you. And then I move on with my life. Then other people get it partially right. And so you have to look at that, and you have to, you know, and if you're a mature person, you know how to receive prophecy, and you know how to filter it through the filters so that you're getting only what God wants you to have. Amen? So the Bible says not to despise prophecy. We shouldn't reject prophecy when it comes, but we should test it and keep what is good. There's a bunch of scriptures. We could spend a month on prophecy. Maybe we'll do that one day. There's a bunch of scriptures on it, but I want you guys to know that the prophetic is alive and well. And I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in the gifts. And I don't believe in them for the sake of uplifting an individual, But I do believe in them in the sense that they build the church and give us hope. How many of you that received, you three or four people that received the word, did it encourage you? Did it make you want to go forward? See, that's what it's supposed to do. It's not supposed to give you all the answers. It's supposed to give you something so that you will look with hope and expectation to the coming season. That's what it's here for. Now look it. Someone in the office can also give a corrective word. And if there's some big error in this church, my wife is a co-lead pastor. She can stand up here and she can give a corrective word. That's between her and God, and I trust her in that. But you know her heart. Her heart is to build people up. Even if we give a rebuke, it's only to uplift you and encourage you to go forward. It's not to beat you down. It's not to control or manipulate. It's not for personal gain. This is very important. It's not for personal gain. I cannot tell you how many times that me and Jeannie don't even care what people give us. We're not interested in that. We're interested in building the kingdom of God. You are blessed because you are in a church where these gifts are operating. And there's a mature covering between our pastors who've all been in the Spirit for quite some time and understand the pitfalls and the way that it's been abused. A lot of people have abused prophecy in a very bad way, creating situations of moral decay and moral failure. And so we're very conscious on that, and we watch over that. When you got one guy that goes around and he's prophesying over all the young women in the church, ding, 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 ding. You know what? And when you got a young lady who's prophesying over all the men, ding, 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 right? It's kind of like, but I do want to tell you, I did prophesy over my wife once, and I ended up being the fulfillment of my prophecy. That did actually happen. And I'm very blessed by that. But I don't recommend that as your way of selecting a mate. Now, what we're going to do here as we get ready to dismiss, that's true. We'll be married 37 years, and we're the youngest married couple in the pastoral group at 37. We're the babies. Makes me feel younger. Listen, before we dismiss, we're going to pray for everyone who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to line up the ministry team. I'm going to have them come on up as I give an invitation for you to invite God into a deeper level in your life. It's not about me. It's not about everyone else. It's about you and your relationship with God. The Bible tells us that God sent his only begotten Son to earth to save us because we are unable to save ourselves. We all know that there is a separation between us and God with our sin. But as we come into repentance and receive God's grace of Jesus Christ, we now have our sins forgiven and we restore our relationship with God. That means each one of you can hear from the Spirit. You don't need me. You don't need any person. You yourself have access to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And that's what's so powerful. That's why Christianity is different than every other religion that has ever existed on earth, because it's not about living up to a standard, but it's about receiving God's grace and realizing that you can have a personal relationship with your Creator, that he's going to love you just where you're at. All your sin, all your black marks, all that stuff that's happened in your life, God loves you. Amen? Bow your heads with me. If there's anyone here that has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior or wants to renew his relationship and commitment to him, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. And I want you to think about the words that I'm speaking right now, that God loves you. And he doesn't love you knowing that thinking that you have to be perfect to come to him. He loves you in the fallen state that you're in right now. He loves you so much that Jesus came and died while we were yet sinners, that he might redeem us through his love. This is not the kind of love which is an emotional feeling. It's a kind of love that requires demonstration. Love without sacrifice is unproved. And God proved his love in sending his only begotten Son to die a horrible death for each and every person here that will receive him. If you're here today and you've never done this, we're going to say a prayer all together. I want you to join in with all your heart. If you're not sure, just ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. Just ask him to show himself to you and to demonstrate his love for you in some way that you will be able to recognize it. If that's you today, then say this prayer with me, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, even while I was a sinner. Now, Father, I repent of my sins, all my wrong thoughts and actions, and receive your Son, Jesus Christ, today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for restoring our relationship. I ask now for your Holy Spirit to come and to fill me, and that our relationship be restored. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you said that for the first time, you meant it with all your heart, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. As a step of faith, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand high and say, yes, Lord, I meant what I said. It was a prayer truly from my heart. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hands high. One, two, three. Raise those hands up. Let me see them. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13 hands. Let's give the Lord a clap. Woo! Go ahead. Stand up with me. I'm going to dismiss you. I want to say this last thing as we get dismissed right now, that God said, if you ask of me a bread, I'm not going to give you a serpent or a stone or some object. I'm going to give you something good. As you leave today, as you walk out these doors, I want you to know that God, when he gave you his Holy Spirit, gave you something that was good. Now use it to the full extent. Practice your spiritual gifts. Learn to flow in them, and you will bless many people. They're not for you to make a name for yourself. They're for others, that they might be blessed and built up in Christ. Father, I thank you right now as this congregation leaves today, that they don't, Father, just leave church in the four walls, but when they walk through that door, they take church with them. They take the Spirit, the power of your manifestation of your Spirit with them in Jesus' name. We now release them, Father, and ask that you give them boldness to move in their gifts, make all the mistakes they have to become proficient in their giftings. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. God bless you. If you want to be blessed, lamp along the wall, and we'll pray for you in order. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.